We'll begin with a prayer. Holy Spirit, we ask that you guide us as we meditate upon another section of the Word which you've given us for the salvation of our souls. I pray that you reveal the treasures which are hidden in it to us and strengthen our faith in our Savior as we grow in grace and knowledge of Him. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So Acts 23, verses 12 to 22, under a great curse. We have here this morning a rather unique happening. I don't believe there's anything else quite like it in all Holy Writ. What I'm going to do is read through the whole text to kind of get a context here, and then go back and look closely at some of the details. The scene will not close this morning. It will continue, God willing, next week. But for now, Acts 13, verses 12 through 22. And when it was day, certain of the Jews banded together and bound themselves under a curse, saying that they would neither eat nor drink till they had killed Paul. And they were more than 40 which had made this conspiracy. And they came to the chief priests and elders and said, "We have bound ourselves under a great curse that we will eat nothing until we have slain Paul. Now therefore ye with the council signify to the chief captain that he bring him down unto you tomorrow, as though ye would inquire something more perfectly concerning him. And we, or ever he come near, are ready to kill him." And when Paul's sister's son heard of their lying in wait, he went and entered into the castle and told Paul. Then Paul called one of the centurions unto him and said, "Bring this young man unto the chief captain, for he hath a certain thing to tell him." So he, the centurion, took him, the child, and brought him to the chief captain, and said, "Paul the prisoner called me unto him, and prayed me to bring this young man unto thee, who has something to say unto thee." Then the chief captain took him by the hand. This is precious. Here's a young boy in the presence of the captain of the Roman army, and the captain takes him by the hand to make him feel welcome. I just love this. Then the chief captain took him by the hand and went with him aside privately and asked him, "What is it that thou hast to tell me?" And he, the young boy, said, "The Jews have agreed to desire thee that thou wouldest bring down Paul tomorrow into the council, as though they would inquire somewhat of him more perfectly. But do not thou yield unto..." Here's a little boy talking to the captain of the Roman army and telling him, "Do not do this." I love this. "But do not thou yield unto them, for there lie in wait for him of them more than 40 men, which have bound themselves with an oath that they will neither eat nor drink till they have killed him. And now they are ready, looking for a promise from thee." So the chief captain then let the young man depart and charged him, "See thou tell no man that thou hast showed these things to me." This is a real mysterious section of Scripture, but the cupboard is not bare. So let's go by what we already know. What do we already know? The Holy Spirit tells us that certain of the Jews banded together. He doesn't tell us who they were. We have no names. But they're certain Jews. And when the Holy Spirit uses this terminology, there was a certain man. These were certain Jews. There's something very, very important. And the word certain here tells us that these men are representative. They're representative of the whole Jewish race. And they're even above the chief priests. The terminology certain Jews then makes us know that they're representative. And the key that unlocks the door here is the time reference, or the number reference. And they were more than 40, which hath made this conspiracy. Okay, so what do we know? We know that the Holy Spirit can count to 41. We know that the Holy Spirit can count to 42, or 44, or whatever. So that's not the point. The point is that the Holy Spirit is using the number 40. And we know this, that 40 is a very important number in Scripture. We could say that this number 40 is the time of decision. Something has to be done now. Can't put it off. Can't kick the can down the road. Now is the time when the decision has to be made. There are many examples of this. When Moses was on the Mount 40 days, the people were being judged. And when he came down, they were worshiping the golden calf. They had failed the test the 40th day. Spies were in the promised land for 40 days. When they came back, they had a choice. You're going to go in and conquer the land, or are you going to be afraid of the giants that there and the cities that had walls that reached up to heaven and turn back? That was on the 40th day. They failed. So here, we can't think, I don't think we can help but go back to another very important Old Testament happening that took place on the 40th day. And Saul, King Saul, was involved. So we're in 1 Samuel chapter 17, and you know these verses. Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle, and were gathered together at Succoth, which belongeth to Judah, and pitched between Shokal and Azekah in Ephes Damim, or something like that, whatever that city was. And Saul, King Saul, said to the men of Israel, and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah, and set the battle in array against the Philistines. So this Saul is king of Israel. He's ahead of their army. And the Philistines stood on the mountain on the other side, kind of like a football field. You got stands on one side, stands on another, and the football field is down in the middle. That's the valley. So the Israelites were on one side, the Philistines on the other, and Goliath came down on the field of battle. There went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines, named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. He had a helmet of brass upon his head, and was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of his coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. Goliath here is kind of a type of the certain 40 men, about 40 men, they're going to attack Paul. So Goliath had breves of brass upon his legs and a target of brass between his shoulders. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's bam, and his spears had weighed 600 shekels of iron, and one bearing a shield went before him. A scary, scary sight. And so he stood and cried unto the army of Israel, armies, and said unto them, Why are ye come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and ye servants of Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. If ye be able to fight with me and to kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants. So this was a fight to the death. And it certainly matches the text that we're looking at. Paul, was going to be killed. And if they didn't kill him, these more than 40 men had taken an oath that they wouldn't eat anything or drink anything until Paul was killed. So there was going to be death one way or the other. 40th. And the Philistines said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. When Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistines, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Now David is introduced. Now David was the son of that Ephrathite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse. And he, Jesse, had 8 sons, and the man went for men for an old man in the days of Saul. And the 3 eldest sons of Jesse went and followed Saul to the battle. They're members of his army. And the names of the 3 sons that went to battle were Eliab the firstborn, and the next to him Abinadab, and the 3rd Shammah. And David was the youngest, and the 3 eldest followed Saul, but David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. He was a shepherd. And the Philistine drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days. That's the key that opens the lock. The 40 days. This is the time of decision. 39 days had come and gone. 39 times the challenge had been met. And now is day number 40. And the king of Israel has to come up with an answer. You know the rest of the story. I couldn't help but be reminded of the David versus Goliath battle when studying this text. It's the 40, the number 40, that is the key that opens the lock. The more than 40 Jews which made a conspiracy to kill Paul put their own life on the line. This had not been done before. Jesus had been attacked many times. Chief priests and elders attacked many times, and when they were beat, they turned and went back home. The Philistines, or the Pharisees, many, many times tried to trap Jesus. When they were defeated, they turned around and went back home. The scribes, who we call the seminary professors, attacked Jesus over and over again. Every time he won, but they went back home. Well, there wasn't any going back home here. This thing was like the Battle of the OK Corral. Death was going to be involved. And that's what this curse thing was about. And they brought it on themselves. We have made this thing. We have made this agreement. We are not going to eat anything or drink anything until this man is dead. And we're going to kill him. It's going to be one way or the other. Goliath didn't realize that there was another man standing in the army of Israel that hadn't been there the first 39 days. It's a little boy, not a little boy, but a young man, for sure, a shepherd. And he was not afraid of the giant. So Luke tells us, and the curse was they're not going to eat any food or drink any water as long as Paul was alive. Paul is a type of Christ here, isn't he? It was a battle to the death. One would win, the other would die. And if the Jews fail to kill Paul, they're going to end up like the rich man down in hell. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes and being in torments, seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. So the rich man didn't have any water. He didn't even have a drop of water. There is no water down in hell. There's not going to be a banquet down in hell either. They're not going to eat and they're not going to drink down in hell. There'll be no food and there'll be no water. And it's not by accident that many times in the Bible, heaven is pictured as a banquet. It's not by accident that the first miracle Jesus recorded was at a marriage in Cana. So anyway, these people, the Jews that made this terrible curse, went to the high priests and the elders. This was an official thing, official meeting. And they went in there and said, we have bound ourselves under a great curse. They did that. Nobody else did it. They did it. We did this on our own. And the reason we did it is because we hate Paul. That was it. They have nobody to blame but themselves. And it's the same way in the afterlife. Nobody down in hell can blame anybody else. But they didn't have to go there. They went there because they hated Jesus Christ. And so the curse fell upon them. We're not going to have anything to eat, and we're not going to have anything to drink as long as Jesus is alive. And he rose from the dead. They had a little banquet before that during the 3 days. But on the third day, he rose from the dead. And he's never going to die again. So they're going to suffer the curse that they brought upon themselves. And that's important. So then they're given the orders now to go to the captain of the Roman army and get him to bring Paul out the next morning. And when Paul comes out, he's going to be a dead man walking. Because we have more than 40 guys that are going to stand there and we're going to kill him. Now we see another way that the Holy Spirit works. There was a young boy here, and we don't know what his name was, but we know that he was a relative, Paul's sister's son. And how he found out about this, who knows? How did he find out about this curse that these people have made? I don't know. We don't know who he is. We don't know how he found this out. But he did. And the Holy Spirit used this young man to save Paul's life. When Paul's sister's son heard of their lying in wait, he went and told Paul. Paul said, call a centurion. You know, centurions are honorable people every time you meet them in the Bible. Paul called a centurion and told the centurion to take this young lad and give him to the chief priest of the chief of the army, because he's got something to tell you. So the centurion did that. And the young man was taken by the hand by this chief of the army and made to feel right at home. And you can talk to me just like we're friends. Well, what have you got to tell me? And so the boy tells him, And then he tells the chief of the army what to do or what not to do. Don't go ahead and bring Paul down there because they're going to kill him. So then he lets the young boy go and says, don't tell anybody what you said about me. We'll continue the story, God willing, next week. But here is another clear, beautiful example of the power of the Holy Spirit and how he works using a young lad to do the thing, to talk to the chief of the Roman army and sway him. This is the power of the Holy Spirit. And the power is always in the Word.